This is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Presented by Four Winds Casino and brought to you in part by Nancy's Pizza and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome into the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We are brought to you by Nancy's Pizza and Chevy Drive Chicago with Barstool Chief. I'm Pat Boyle. Hope everybody's getting ready for a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend. How you doing, Chief?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I've been doing okay.
Yeah?
I talked to you a couple weeks ago about how I think pretty much we're all Bears fans in Chicago, Chicago sports fans. And does sometimes what is going on with the Bears have an impact on how the prism you look at other teams that you root for? Like, you're in a bad mood and, coaching situation. Yep. So you start analyzing all these different things.
Definitely causing some mild depression.
Yeah, like, look, here, I refuse to react to Bedard's goal drought and overreact to it.
Okay.
How long does that go? It's going to go for until I feel that they have surrounded him with the right support.
Okay.
And he's not flourishing with that.
So let's just say hypothetical.
Okay.
We're a month in, he's got three?
Yeah.
So let's say he finishes the year with 14. What then?
Well, I'd have to see how things go between now and the end of the season. Right. Obviously, there wouldn't be many trips to the back of the net as far as goals-wise. I would have certainly some concerns. But okay. I have to evaluate everything. Just like you had to evaluate Caleb and his struggles prior to the OC change, you have to account Waldron's effect on that. I need to and the O-line and all the other components that go to it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do the same thing when it comes to Connor Bedard.
Okay.
Line mates. I could say the whole team's in a scoring slump because they are.
They are.
I mean, if you look at the numbers, right, the Hawks are 30th in shots per game with 26.
Mm-hmm.
They're 31st in goals per game at 2.33. They're 19th in goals allowed at three.
Okay.
And if I told you their power play was ranked 12th and their PK 15th, you'd say, well, that's sign me up.
Yeah.
But they're allowing three goals a game with great goaltending, mind you.
They are getting good goaltending.
And they're scoring just over two goals a game. They need to find another goal per game.
Yeah. Where does that come from?
It's not just 98. It's got to be. It's got to be Tavo. It's got to be Kurashev. It's got to be Taylor Hall. It's got to be on and on, Dickinson and company.
Yeah.
So how do you look at what Bedard has been going through?
Yeah, I don't see, like, I threw out that 15 number, but I don't really care that much about production. As long as the habits and the mentality are right, I do think the talent is there. He had a quote, I think it was after the Philly game, where I broke my heart a little bit.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember your tweet.
And it's like, you're still our guy.
Yeah.
I know it's hard right now, but things will get better. I still believe in Connor Bedard. I think that, because I've been negative, I think there's people on the internet and other places that think I'm calling him a bust. I'm not. I don't think he's a center. I think that's fine to say. But I do think that what I want to see him do is, and we said this last week too, just attack. Attack, make people uncomfortable, make people have to change directions, turn and go. And as opposed to, it's like a soccer thing too. Like, if you want to just, I don't want, or a basketball. I don't want to see him just kind of being on the outside shooting threes. I want to see him crossing guys over, getting to the net, making plays, making people have to react to him, which I don't think we see enough of. And when people react to you and they flow to you, then that's going to create other passing lanes and opportunities for others. And but when you are the best player on the team, you have to drive your own line. You have to be both the goal scorer and the creator. And the creator could just be like you're creating space.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's done a good enough job of that. That's something that I do think is in his control. Like that's a mindset and a mentality. Like I'm just going to go buy this guy. I'm going to beat this guy. And I'm going to make his life. I think we talked about this last week where Ryan Whitney was talking about Datsyuk and how scared he was of him out there. It's a different type of player, obviously. But I want people to be like, oh, I can't believe I got to shift against Bedard right now. I can't wait till this 30 seconds is over. I want that thought in defenseman's mind. And I, right now, I don't think that's there.
That was the message today from Luke Richardson. Play with more pace. Don't worry about everything else, mm-hmm. Connor. Play with more pace. Now, he's not known to be, he's not McDavid on skates by any means. But
his edges are, I do think he has
elite. His
edge
work is fantastic.
Elite edge work. Yep. And you can, that's what I mean, where it's like, hey, you're going to go at somebody, you fake wide. It is almost like a point guard trying to get in the paint. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see him try to get by guys and get into those harder areas and make people react to him so he can either dish or beat a guy and put one under the bar like we've seen him do, his entire life. And I think that will have a ripple effect both on him, his line, and the rest of the team.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Ben Pope from the Chicago Sun-Times. He is with the team on a regular basis, home and away, and he'll break down what he's seen thus far from the Hawks. We'll talk prospects as well. So Ben Pope coming up a little bit later on. Our poll question tonight, what do you make of the Blackhawks 7-12-2 start? Worst mark in the National Hockey League. Is it what you expected? Worse than you expected? It has you concerned or relax? Rebuilds take time. Where do you think the majority are going right now?
I know where I'm going.
Where?
I'm concerned.
You're concerned.
I think I am on, just based on my interaction on Twitter, I think I am sounding the alarms more so than the majority of the fan base. So I think most of the fan base will be saying, relax, rebuilds take time.
That's actually coming in fourth right now.
Okay.
Number one is worse than I expected, 33%. That's where I would fall. What I expected, it is at 29, that's second, followed by it has me concerned at 23, and relax, rebuilds take time, 15%.
Well, I don't understand the people who are saying that it's about what you expected, because I think everybody, including the general manager, Kyle Davidson, expected a step forward. Those were his words, and they haven't done that. It's a step, literally, it's been a step backwards through this point in the season. So when you bring in Tarvainen and Bertuzzi, and we haven't seen Brossoit, but you bolster the defense with some veterans.
They're better defensively. They're giving up less goals per game. They're a little better in special teams,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, 5-on-5 scoring, they're not.
They're not. And I would, while their percentage is better, where are they? And I'm sure we could look this up. I should have done this before. Where are they in terms of drawing penalties and going on?
It's got to be near the bottom.
Right.
I mean, they've gone 5 straight games with 1 power play
right.
in each of those games. That's a franchise record, and it hasn't happened in the National Hockey League since 2019.
Okay, so terrible.
Yeah. So, in other words.
Right. And that's what I mean when I say, because when you play aggressively and you play fast, and you make people uncomfortable, they're going to take more penalties. So if you're not attacking them and you're always on the perimeter and you're not making people use their stick and they don't really even have to move their feet that much, you're not going to be on the power play. So if your power play is 12th, but the last time you got one was last Tuesday,
yes.
Who cares?
Exactly.
So
no, that's a great point. 312-332-3776. That's how you can get a hold of us. Up first, it's Tom in New Jersey. Welcome to the Hockey Show. How are you doing tonight, Tom?
Good. First, before I get into hockey, I want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for all the great information you give us on hockey.
Well, thank you for listening, for calling in. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours too, Tom.
So I called earlier your first show and asked about prospects in Rockford. There was a guy named Cole Gutman who was up with the Hawks, I guess, a couple of years ago. I think he played at Denver, And there's another guy named Colton Dock, who I hope is not related to Kirby Dock.
It's his brother.
It's his younger brother.
Is he any better than his brother, or is he going to turn out to be the
Hockey Show? Pat Boyle, Chicago's only.
We got some noise. Finish that thought again there, Tom.
I was going to say, is he going to be any better than his brother, who turned out to be probably one of the biggest busts the Hawks ever made in the draft?
Okay. I don't think Kirby Dock was a bust. I think the organization failed him. He's actually been, when he's healthy, he's been pretty effective now in Montreal. Like, he got a second contract there. He'll get another one. He's getting top 6 minutes. It was just, they drafted him probably too high at that slot. Like, he was probably.
They drafted him 2019 or 18.
I think it was 19.
And they drafted him because they thought he was the most NHL ready.
Right. Stan Bowman needed another NHL body and preferably a center because he didn't have any. So it was like, do we take the guy with the highest?
What is going on here?
Do the Berman, Pat. Do the Berman.
We're good back here. We had technical difficulties.
All right.
Keep going.
All right.
But yeah, so Kirby's not a bust. He was drafted higher than he should have been because he was 6'4 and 200 pounds at 18 years old.
And ushered right into the NHL.
Yeah, even though he was hurt. And then then it's like, all right, well, that was not the best idea. Let's let him go to junior the following year. He gets hurt there. And, it's just, they just did everything wrong with Kirby Dock. His brother is not the same type of player, similar size, I guess, but Colton's more of your traditional power forward wing. It's certainly something that they don't have a lot of in the pipeline. And sounds like, based on just stats alone, because I haven't seen Rockford play, but he's putting up decent numbers. I think he's the second leading scorer behind Frankie Nazar.
Yeah, so I would
bring him up.
You might see him at some point this season, but I don't think he's one of their top priorities to get up here. But I would expect him to see some limited time with the Blackhawks.
I think he'll get a taste, and I think he's a guy who, could he turn into a Brian Bickle type where he plays physically and can score some goals
and we need that
and gets to the net, or is he in Bickle when it would matter most they put him up on the top line, but most of the time he was in the bottom six. If Doc can turn into a serviceable NHL player, that's pretty good. When you're drafted, I think they got him in the second round, that's pretty good. So I am holding out hope that comes true.
Let's go quickly to Bill in the Gold Coast. Bill, you're up next on the Hockey Show. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hello, Chief. Hello.
Hello, Billy.
Hey, how are you? You're looking good in that sweatshirt. I wanted to add one positive note. Can we at least all agree that Lucas Reichel, at the bare minimum, is an NHL player now? Like, he might not be the superstar we hoped he would be, but this season he's attacked the middle. He actually shoots the puck aggressively. He's not, I would say, tip-tapping around the boards anymore. Like, he's actually laying the wood. So I think that's a positive step for a 22-year-old who we did draft to be a good NHL player at this point.
I totally agree with you, Bill, and he's done it on the fourth line. Thank you for the call, which, with his skill set, if I said to you, Lucas Reichel's going to reemerge and show some signs of why he was taken in the first round by performing on the fourth line with Patty Maroon and Craig Smith, you would have said what to me?
I would have fell out of my chair.
Yeah.
Like, I would not have believed it, and I think he is really benefiting from having, like, that whole idea, we're going to bring in these leaders, these older guys, to kind of bring Bedard along. It hasn't really materialized so far with Bedard in terms of play and production necessarily. It has with Lucas Reichel, and specifically with those two wings. So he is playing faster. I notice him mostly with a pace through the neutral zone. So where he fits in on this project long term, I'm still not sold. But he, credit to him, because I think a lot of people, myself included, were ready to, like, if he re-signs as a RFA, like he did, he got an ARB deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So an arbitration deal. If he didn't, I was not going to lose any sleep over it. But he seems like he's getting his career back on track where he will be able to carve out, another contract, and we'll see where he goes.
You know, hockey's a funny thing. Sports is, in general, when you talk about confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm watching Reichel skate and being upright and head surveying and with speed,
yep.
And then I'm watching Bedard, I'm like going, there's one guy right now who's got mm-hmm. a ton of confidence and another guy who's searching.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, everybody goes through it, but totally. It's like when you watch the games, it is apparent.
It is apparent, and I would a little nice thing for to be to Bedard. Reichel's getting much more favorable matchups.
Like
he's
for sure.
He's playing the underbelly where Bedard, because the Blackhawks don't have anything else besides him, he's getting the top pair. He's usually playing against the other team's top line as well, and so it's not. It's not apples to apples, but you're right. Like, Reichel looks confident. He has a little bit of swagger to his game, and he's his best asset is that speed, and he has been using it. So credit to him.
When your fourth line's your best line, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. It's awesome that you're getting production,
but
it's also an indictment.
There is that old hockey cliche where your best players need to be your best players if you're going to be a good team. And that is not really the case right now.
Connor Bedard's going back to center. We'll tell you who he'll be skating with when they take on the Dallas Stars tomorrow night at the United Center. Back to the phones as well. 312-332-3776. Time for us to step aside. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I'm Pat Boyle. To get a hold of us, 312-332-3776, just like Brett in Romeoville did. Brett, good evening. Welcome to the Hockey Show.
Good to hear from you. Love the show. Love hockey. I can't tell you how much refreshing it is to talk hockey more so than the Bears right now. But
is it?
yeah, exactly. But I just want to know two things, guys. What are your guys' thoughts and expectations right now on Connor Bedard? Obviously, he has, you know, 3 goals and 12 assists in 20 games with the Blackhawks, but he's gone 11 straight games without a goal. What are your guys' thoughts on what type of expectations should we put on him? Is he going through a sophomore slump? And also, our goaltender situation, just real quickly on your guys' take on that. A lot of NHL teams now rely on a two-tandem goaltending situation. Who puts us in a better place to win games in that with the Blackhawks? Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Brett, thank you for the phone call. Let's start with expectations for Bedard. What are your expectations? Let's start like this year, knowing what you know now, off to the slow start.
This year, like, I don't know. It kind of goes back to what I said in the first segment, where I care more about the way he's playing rather than the results, because you do need help to generate those results. But I want him attacking. I want him confident. I want him.
You don't want what we saw last week where he had no shots on goal.
I don't want him being passive. And I feel like it's been a little bit too. There's like, you know, it's like that balance between, you know, the old coach speak, like, let the game come to you. Like, you know what? Go take the game. Go. And if you turn the puck over trying to make a play, I don't care. Like, just, I want you attacking. I want you being dangerous. Don't be boring out there. Don't be boring. So go out, try to make plays. And if you get your pocket picked and it's going the other way, I don't care. Go out and do the same thing the next time and try to make plays. And I think if you keep continuously doing that, good things will happen. So obviously he's not going to be a 100-point guy this year. I do think that that has to be, if the Blackhawks want to win a cup, and he's going to be, you know, they need him to be a guy who's top 10 in the league in scoring.
No question.
So
he's moved back to center.
Okay.
So tomorrow night, Taylor Hall will be on the left side, and Phil Kuryshev, who he had the most chemistry with and played with the most last year, will be on the right side. And, you know, I was talking to Darren Pang. He likes having a lefty shot on the right side, especially the way Connor likes to pass.
Yeah, I think that's fine. You know, it
doesn't seem like it's moving you, but also seen 15 other different combinations.
Right. It's almost like, hey, you know, I thought the second game he had with Dickinson as a center, he set up 2 goals for Dickinson. Just run with that. And if you want to have a right shot, you know, for seam passes across the way for Bedard, if he's making plays, fine. Or a left shot, rather, on the right side. That's whatever. But I do think he's a wing. And it's like this whole thing where it's just like, they're just pulling every lever they can every couple of games to try to get something to work. Maybe it's, hey, you're a wing. You're going to be on the wing. You're going to play with Jason Dickinson. Jason Dickinson, you're no longer, when we're at home, you're not going up against the other team's top line. We're going to try to give you guys the better minutes against the underbelly, because the most important thing is not for this team right now. is not shutting down the other team. This team needs to be scoring goals, and you need to get Bedard going. So I think the best way to do that is Dickinson at center, Bedard on the left, somebody on the right. And then look for favorable matchups and use that home ice last change to your advantage.
Okay, well, they've only had 8 home games thus far, so they've been on the road quite a bit. That might be part of the reason why we didn't see more of Dickinson together. I mean, look, Dickinson has been a hell of a shutdown line on that third line.
Yeah,
but he's been there right now.
Don't care about that.
Yeah,
I don't care about that because I would if they're losing games 3-1. Every game's going under, right?
Right.
I'd rather lose 4-3. And if I could choose which way I'm going to lose, I'm losing 4-3, and Bedard's got a couple of points. That to me is the most important thing for the future. That's what it's not really fair. It might be a hard thing to sell to the other guys on the team, but hey, you knew what you signed up for. This is a rebuild. It's all about getting him going and getting him improved. And if they're not going to be able to do that with him as with Dickinson, then you got to reformulate how you're thinking.
Back to the phone lines. Keith on the Northwest side joins us. How you doing tonight, Keith?
I'm good. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. My question is just, it's more about the coaching. And, you know, is some of this on, you know, Luke Richardson in terms of, you know, player development? You know, what kind of a leash do we have when it comes to this coach? I mean, I know in hockey sometimes, you know, teams go on bad runs and they'll ax the coach pretty quick. But in this case, you know, understanding that it's a rebuild, you know, we're going into another disappointing start to a season. What does it look like on that end? And is part of his job is supposed to be developing these guys. Is that something that's lacking? So again, thanks for taking my call, guys, and I'll listen on the other end.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it. Yeah, look, the NHL doesn't usually waste any time making moves. We saw it after an epic regular season from the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. They launched Jim Montgomery. And he's out of work 5 days, and he's hired down the road in St. Louis.
Yeah. Look, this is one of those things where it's like, how serious are the Blackhawks about winning? To me, Jim Montgomery would have been perfect. He's a guy who's made his bones being a guy who develops young players. He had the respect of the guys in Boston enough to take that veteran group. I think the roster in Boston is extremely flawed. And he got caught up in the Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, Swayman, all the mess that's going on in Boston. I don't really put that on Monty. I would have, if I were Kyle Davidson and Danny Wirtz, I am hiring Jim Montgomery the second he becomes available. I would have given him 5 years and $4 million a year and be like, this is your team. You're here for the long haul. You are in charge of developing these guys and getting them playing the right way. And you're going to develop all the other guys that are coming too. And then in your fifth year, you should be competing for a Stanley Cup. That's what I would have done. I don't think the Blackhawks would have touched Monty with a 10-foot pole because of his history in Dallas. And because they can't, because of all the baggage that the Blackhawks have had, you can't go out and hire a guy like that. I do think that factored in to why they weren't in on Monty previously and why they definitely weren't in on him this time. And that, to me, is a mistake. So he's been a good boy here for several years. I think he's on the straight and narrow. He was the best coach available. I do think he's a guy who could have made you better. They chose to punt on that. And I feel like they've lost out on a few opportunities to St. Louis specifically with the RFA situations with Dylan Holloway and now Jim Montgomery, where it's just like they punted on opportunities for whatever reason that they could have made this rebuild start to look better, because I don't think the team did not play hard last year, which drove me crazy. That is on the coach. I will give him credit for the special teams being better, but this whole line juggling every night.
Yeah, there's got to be
something.
Have at least some semblance of some consistency.
Yeah,
and I do think that's working against them right now.
I agree.
Coming up next, Ben Pope from the Chicago Sun-Times joins us. What's going on in the third period for the Blackhawks? And the latest on Kevin Korchinski in Rockford. Ben joins the Hockey Show next.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On the AM.
At 1000.
On the FM.
At 100.3 HD2.
On your phone.
Through the ESPN Chicago app.
Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief a.k.a. Ryan Brandel. I am Pat Boyle. It is our pleasure to bring in the Chicago Blackhawks beat writer for the Sun-Times. He is Ben Pope. How you doing tonight, Ben?
Pretty good. Just making dinner a little bit late. Looking forward to another game against Dallas. Seems like we've been seeing a lot of them.
Yeah, third of four meetings, and they'll conclude just before New Year with the season series.
I'm ready for that matchup to be over with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to play Dallas anymore.
We haven't played them well, but we've played good teams well, which is somewhat surprising. I want to start with Bedard, usually do when we talk about this team. You've been around him on a daily basis, both the rookie year and this year. What have you seen from him as far as how he's dealing with this goal drought and how it's affecting him on a daily basis?
Well, he definitely does seem to be frustrated by this. I think you can tell. I mean, he's a pretty reserved guy and doesn't necessarily let in a lot of public emotions, but you can tell the difference in him recently that he's getting a little exasperated, and he's typically kind of annoyed about just the questions and interviews in general, but this time it seems more annoyed with himself that he hasn't been able to deliver and really back up his typical self-belief. And I think you are starting to see him affected by this a little bit, and in the game too he just doesn't seem to have the same level of confidence either. He'll have a break and try to force a pass instead of ripping one on goal, or maybe just not make as decisive a decision with what to do with the puck as we saw last year. And so that is definitely a concern right now, that not only is he's struggling, which every player goes through, but it does seem to be affecting his mentality a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think that jaw injury is lingering with him, that he has changed? I feel like he doesn't attack through the middle as much. If you asked him about that, has he become more of a perimeter player since coming back? Because that goal drought really goes back to last year too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think I've asked specifically about that. I mean, I know he's from a health standpoint fully healed as far as the jaw, but maybe it has affected him a little bit in terms of his willingness to go one-on-one against guys with the risk of getting hit. I haven't really put two and two together with that or noticed anything specific with that, and I feel like even earlier this year, back in October, I thought he was playing just as well, if not better, than last season. He just wasn't necessarily getting luck. He was producing a lot of shots and chances, and it just wasn't going in for him. And then it's been kind of a separate issue in November, where he just hasn't produced nearly as many shots and chances. And statistically, when you're looking at it, it all kind of runs together. But to me, it seems like it's been kind of two different chapters, even just early this season for him. So, but it is possible that could be still in the back of his head. That is probably something worth asking about.
Ben Pope from the Sun-Times joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. You wrote about the third period woes of the Blackhawks. They have not outscored the opposition in the third period since the win in Los Angeles way back on November 2nd. In the nine games since, they've been outscored 14-5 and outshot 103-70. As you went around that room talking to guys like Alec Martinez, what did they say to you about the issues in the third period and when it comes to closing games? Because you look back to last week, they had the lead in the third in three games, only won one of them.
Yeah, well, we've been hearing it all year that they want to play a full 60 minutes, and they just haven't been able to do that. And at times it's been the first period or the second period where they haven't delivered, but it has been most often in the third period, especially the past few weeks. And it seems to be partially a confidence thing. I mean, we've heard from several players, Bedard included, that they're just not feeling confident right now. And so when you have the lead in the third period, it's normal for the opposing team to push hard and start taking more risks, pinching defensemen, making more aggressive plays to try to tie the game. And so when you get in that situation, it maybe takes a little bit more mental resilience to push through that and continue to not only just hunker down and clear the zone, but also try to create offense and play the same way you have when the other team is dialing up the aggressiveness. And if you're a little bit mentally fragile or just not believing in yourself, it can be more difficult to do that in that scenario than maybe earlier in the game. And I think we are seeing some of that, especially the last few weeks, as things kind of snowball a little bit on the Blackhawks, that Maybe they manage to play well for 40 minutes, but in the third period, when it really comes down to it, they just kind of get passive because they don't believe that they can keep producing. And in theory, even though most teams trailing in the third period will create the majority of shot attempts and scoring chances, you should be at least able to get some odd man breaks the other way when you can take advantage of maybe a defenseman pinching in for a 50-50 puck. And the Blackhawks haven't really been able to even create many of those. We did see a little bit better in the last game in Philly on Saturday. They have a few looks in the third period, mainly from that fourth line that was clicking that night, but haven't seen a lot of it. So definitely an area that needs to be addressed, and it might just take more confidence in general for that to kind of rub into that area.
Do you think some of that is, or all of that is on Richardson, and is his seat getting warm? Have you heard anything about that?
I really do think that Richardson still has a decent amount of job security left. I agree that he has made some questionable decisions, especially this month. I mean, the line shuffling is getting a little absurd, and he hasn't really put Bedard in the best position to succeed, and the handling of that Taylor Hall scratch was obviously not very well thought out from a communication standpoint. And you're right, that is somewhat on the strategy and the system of the team to figure out a better approach in the third period. But he's also operating with still a pretty weak lineup, and it is also a pretty small sample size. And I think Kyle Davidson, in a season where it's not like the expectations were very high, it's not like they were expecting to be in a playoff spot, I think he is going to be very cautious before jumping to any big decisions, even if Richardson maybe hasn't done the greatest job so far. So if this continues for several more months, I think his seat would be pretty hot. But at this point in time, I think he still does have some leash left.
Ben Pope from the Chicago Sun-Times joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. So, you know, a lot of Blackhawks fans are wondering, okay, maybe you got to go to Rockford to try to find some offense. Frankie Nazar's off to a great start, 16 points in 14 games. Cole Gutman is next with 11 points. Colton Dock's tied with him. Kevin Korchinski on the back end, he's got a goal and six helpers thus far in the 15 games. You wrote about Kevin, you know, after spending the entire year in the National Hockey League last season. How is he adapting to, you know, his first full year in the AHL?
Well, what the Blackhawks really want Korchinski to do this year is just get back to being him. I mean, they drafted him knowing that he was going to be a high event player. He was going to create a lot, and he was probably going to concede a lot. I mean, he's an offensive defenseman. He's a bold player. He's willing to take risks and make plays instead of just trying to survive. And I think they saw last year that just getting beaten down by that trial by fire all year in the NHL, he just started to try to survive rather than thrive each shift. And I mean, they conceded 77 goals with him on the ice, just a 5-on-5 last year. And that's just a lot of negative reinforcement. So this year they just want him to just be him. Just be willing to make those plays, to know that even if he does make a mistake or they allow a goal, that there won't be any reduction in ice time. He won't be scratched, and he can just play his game and build up the confidence with that. And that's what we were seeing so far. He's been on the ice for the second most goals than anyone on the team behind Oli Nazar. And he's also been on the ice for the most goals against. And certainly they're going to work with him on some of those defensive things. And that is what they have been doing, particularly in terms of teaching him that maybe stay a little bit more towards the center of the ice and trust the structure rather than trying to charge into every battle and clean up everything himself. And so there is work on the defensive side, but really they're okay with allowing a decent number of goals with him out there just to get him playing confident and bold and making plays and contributing offensively, because that's his strong suit, and that's what we saw, kind of saw him get away from the second half of last season. So it's going to be a process. He'll probably be down there for most of the season, if not all of it, but so far it does look like he does seem more confident. He was making some jokes about that and everything when I talked to him last week, and that was good to see from a off-ice confidence standpoint.
How are they divvying up the minutes on the power play between him and some of the other young defensemen, namely Levshinov down there?
Yeah, I think it's everyone's kind of getting an opportunity. Ethan Del Mastro had a huge role in the power play last year, and they've asked him to shift into a bit more of a stay-at-home role because he's been paired with Korchinski and Levshinov for the most part at 5-on-5, but both Korchinski and Levshinov are getting plenty of opportunities on the power play, and we have seen them pretty effective with that. Levchinov scored his first NHL goal. I'm not sure if it was on the power play or not, but on a point shot. And talking to Anders Sorensen, Rockford's coach, he's been really impressed by Levchinov's shooting ability and just his ability to get pucks through traffic and maybe hit sticks for tips in front. And he was commenting that that's just not something you typically see from AHL defensemen. He's definitely a kind of a tier above in that ability. So they'll both be getting a lot of opportunity in that regard, and that's another important stage for their development.
Ben, keep up the great work. We'll be reading it in the Chicago Sun-Times, and I'll see you at the United Center tomorrow.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you.
That's Ben Pope joining us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Let's quickly go to the phone lines. Nathan in Schaumburg joins us. How you doing tonight, Nathan?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Good. What do you have for us?
So looking deep into the future, I'm glad a caller brought it up earlier, you know, about Bedard's chemistry with Kurashev. You know, who do you really see as kind of his power player? Obviously, Taves had Kane, you know. Who do you kind of see as that guy or even a 1-2 punch on center with Bedard, you know, going further into this rebuild?
All right, Nathan, thank you for the phone call. First of all, you see him as a winger.
Yeah.
Big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Kucherov.
Yeah. Right. That's ideal. Yeah, it would be great if he went to the wing and had 140 points.
that would be fine.
That would be great.
Not setting the bar too high.
Yeah, no, that would be fine. MVP, Stanley Cups, the whole thing, that would be great. I don't think his running mate, for lack of a better word, is currently in the program. I think they have a lot of nice, like, complimentary pieces coming. But in terms of, like, another, like, whew, this guy's a superstar, maybe it's at the top of this draft if it's Higgins or somebody else. Maybe it's somebody they have to get via trade. I don't know. But right now, as good as Nazar is producing in Rockford, I have a hard time imagining him and Bedard meshing together because they just play at such different speeds. Nazar plays with his hair on fire and 1,000 miles an hour, and Bedard is, you know, more of like an east-west kind of. He's not that guy. So I do think he needs to have a guy who plays that kind of more of a slow-down game, get over the blue line, slow it up, find the seams, those kind of guys, and a guy who will drive that middle lane to create space. So I hope there's a, you know, big offensive center somewhere coming here because I think that's ideally what he needs.
Well, I'll tell you, you got Ryan Green at Boston U. He's 6'2". He's in the pipeline. You've got Oliver Moore at Minnesota. Again, not a big centerman.
I don't know if he's a centerman at all at the NHL.
No? Okay.
And he doesn't always play center in Minnesota either. So.
Aiden Thompson?
Look it. Aiden Thompson, the pride of Berkshire School, which is where I went to high school, where I played hockey. So I am rooting for Aiden Thompson. He's lighting it up at Denver. But he's probably more of like a Cole Gutman, where, you know, Gutman produced a ton. He has been able to crack the NHL on a consistent basis. So, and Ryan Green is probably more of a third line type center too. So I don't, like I said, I don't think they have somebody that's like a natural fit already in the program, whether that's playing college somewhere, junior, or NHL or Rockford. So hopefully there's a trade or there's a high draft pick this year that they can find that player for him.
And Nick Lardis is absolutely lighting it up. He's a left winger, I believe.
Yep.
And, I mean, again, we may not have the center right this second, but I do feel we have a complimentary winger for him.
Absolutely. And if Nazar is a wing too, Nazar could be the guy who goes in, wins races, gets the puck back, you know, makes defensemen uncomfortable with his attacking, and then he finds Bedard coming late. Like, I'm not saying it's an impossibility, but I don't think there's a perfect guy for him. But they do have, they got guys with speed for days, and they have some guys who can score, but everything is on the wing.
Trade rumors from Chief coming up next when we wrap up the hockey show.
Wish list.
On ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show
with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
Call us or tweet your comments to at ESPN 1000, The Hockey Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's The Hockey Show, and it is brought to you by Nancy's Pizza and Chevy Drive Chicago. Our thanks to Ben Pope of the Sun-Times for joining us, producer Kevin Zipak. And Matt McMaster, do a great job as always. And thank you for listening. We are never too early to talk about trade rumors, are we?
Yeah, it is that time of year. It's officially that time of year. There's the old hockey cliche where you kind of know what you are by American Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think it's 77% of the teams that are in the playoff mix by Thanksgiving go on to make the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, so we're not there.
No,
so
no, we're not.
But then you also look around the league. This is when you start to hear some of the rumors, and they are starting. So we've seen Morgan Frost's name was out there. Elliot Friedman reported that in his 32 Thoughts. There was also the Rangers got absolutely smoked by Edmonton 6-2, and a report came out that they're looking for a shakeup. And the two names that have been tossed out there are Kreider and Jacob Trouba. And then the third team is Ottawa, who can't seem to get this project, their own project, going, and that maybe they're ready to scrap, which is music to my ears.
We both are big Brady Tkachuk fans.
Yep.
He still has term left on his contract. Let's be honest. How much of a player do you think the Blackhawks are going to be when it comes to looking at a veteran big ticket item to add to their roster now?
Probably not. Okay. I don't know what the price tag. The part of the problem with this, with the Blackhawks, if the Rangers aren't ready to like blow it up necessarily,
right?
They want to retool. Kreider would be the perfect wing for Connor Bedard. Forecheck, gets the net, smart, can still skate. He's a good player. Plays on the edge. Plays mean. He's like the perfect guy. And this goes back to last summer. I was talking to another friend who was on a Western Conference team, and he was comparing them, the Blackhawks situation, to Anaheim. In Anaheim, obviously, they were a bottom team last year, but they have Leo Carlson and some young guys coming up. But they went out and got Radko Gudas, who can, while I hate him and always have, he can still play and contribute. And then same thing with Alex Killorn. Like Alex Killorn, yeah, fourth line, probably guy in Tampa. It was time for him to move on. But he can still skate and play and contribute, where we've done the Corey Perry, the Nick Foligno, some of these guys who are just, they're just not everyday guys really at this point, and certainly not in the roles that the Blackhawks are playing them. So if Kreider, I would say, is a much better version of an Alex Killorn, if there's a way to get him, you got to be at least picking up the phone. And then some of these other pieces, Morgan Frost, who's a former first-round pick, played for Team Canada World Junior. He's had some good years. He's fallen down the pecking order for whatever reason. I will say that when the Blackhawks play the Flyers gave him a nice little
look-see.
They gave him 17 minutes and played with Michkov. So I don't know if that was an audition for the Blackhawks, saying, hey, you could have this center who, you know, the Blackhawks did like this the last time. They went out and got Sharpie, went out and got Versteeg, some guys who were kind of up and down, who hadn't really established themselves, but had talent, and they took a risk. And then my number one dream wish list outside of Brady Tkachuk, because that's going to be a huge thing, is Josh Norris. He's a guy who can't stay healthy, but when he is, he's a great two-way center who I think he's had at least 1 year with over 30 goals. Put him in the middle next to with Bedard on the left. I think that would get him going. These are things that I want them to be exploring.
And we'll have plenty of time to talk about that as the trade deadline is months away. We'll see.
I want it for Christmas.
Well, take Thanksgiving first. Enjoy Thanksgiving with the Brandel family. And we will reconvene next Wednesday night for the hockey show at 8 o'clock on ESPN 1000. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.